Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this evening is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 26 through 34. This is what Luke records for us tonight. He says, "As they led him away, they seized Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country. They placed the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of people was following him, including women who were mourning and wailing for him. Jesus turned to them and said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, stop weeping for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Be sure of this, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never gave birth and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things to the greenwood, what will happen to the dry?' Two other men who were criminals were led away with Jesus to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.'" This is the word of the Lord. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you guys know the scene quite well. You guys watch enough television and crime shows that you've seen the courtroom scene before. There's someone who is in that courtroom who has a defense lawyer, and that person is accused of doing something. And throughout the show, what happens? They try to uncover the evidence. And then finally, when it comes to court, they present the evidence against the accused. And there's a jury and a judge in that courtroom. And it's up to that jury or it's up to that judge to decide if the evidence supports what that person has been accused of. Well, this evening, the defendant is God. He is the one that people so oftentimes put on trial. And this evening, God is being accused of being unsympathetic. And you tonight get to be the jury. Tonight we open up God's word and we uncover, we dig through the evidence. And as we dig through the evidence, each and every one of you get to see, is God guilty of what he is being accused of? Is he guilty of being unsympathetic? Well, just like in any courtroom drama, a good lawyer, well, they'll lay the background. They'll give you the context. And so very quickly, let's take 2 minutes to lay out the context of what's been going on. In the past 10 hours, Jesus met with his disciples in that upper room where they had the Passover. Jesus then instituted the most precious meal ever to be instituted on the face of the earth as he gave to his disciples his body, his blood for the forgiveness of sins. Then Jesus goes out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and it's there that one of his closest friends, still pretending to be his friend, leads a band of soldiers, greets Jesus with a kiss, calls him friend, and betrays him. Peter draws his sword, cuts off the servant of the high priest's ear. Jesus does what? Picks it up, gently heals the man. Then Jesus allows his hands to be bound. Meanwhile, all of his closest friends abandon him. Jesus is taken off, where he is actually put on trial before Annas and Caiaphas. Meanwhile, Peter's out in the courtyard denying that he even knows Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. And as Jesus is being let out from the trial, they lock eyes and the rooster crows. Early the next morning, Jesus is put on trial before Pontius Pilate. And amazingly enough, Pilate finds Jesus innocent. And so what does he do? He has Jesus beaten to an inch of his life and flogged, his back torn open to try to appease the angry mob. He even tries to cut a deal with them, saying, let Jesus go and we'll keep Barabbas, but they want the hardened criminal to be released. And finally, what does cowardly Pilate do? He washes his hands of Jesus' blood, condemns him to death, and off Jesus goes. And that's where our sermon text picks up. Jesus, a shell of a man by this time, his brow bloodied, crown of thorns, his back flayed open, flesh exposed, is forced to carry his own cross. Undoubtedly, the Roman soldiers were forcing Jesus to carry his own tool of execution to the place of his own execution. They're annoyed with Jesus as they get impatient, because undoubtedly Jesus is struggling, you know, to carry this cross. And so they finally want this to be moved along a little quicker. So they pull a gentleman from the crowd, Simon from Cyrene, to carry the cross for Jesus to the place of his execution. Undoubtedly, hordes of people were following Jesus on the way to the cross, mocking him, jeering him, hurling insults at him. But then we also hear that there were people who followed him, who had sympathy for him, who pitied him. Listen to what our sermon text says. It says, a large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Can't blame these women, can you? This man probably barely even looked like a man. His face and body were probably swollen. Wonder how well he could even see from all the blows that he took. Think of the grunts, the moans, the sighs as he made his way to the cross. Anybody with a heart would feel sympathy or pity for a man, whether you knew that man or not. Human beings feel for other human beings. And to see another human being treated like this, of course it's going to cause sympathy and pity for that person. And the women who followed, they wept for Jesus. And you see, you and I, we feel pity sympathy for him too. In fact, I would say we feel it even more than those women. Do you know why? Because we actually know who that man was. He wasn't just an ordinary man. Some of those women maybe didn't even know who Jesus was. But we know him as the Son of God, the Savior. We know that man who is treated that way was innocent. He was perfect. And that tears our guts apart. We feel pity and sympathy for that man going to the place of the skull. Because why? Because we know he's carrying a cross that is not his. We know he's carrying sin that is not his. We feel pity and sympathy for him because he's carrying your cross and mine. He's carrying your sin and mine. We feel sympathy for him because he doesn't deserve anything that he is receiving. But you see, what's amazing is that your God, is that man, he doesn't want your sympathy. Jesus doesn't want your pity. He didn't want those women's sympathy or pity as he made his way to the cross. Why? Because that's what he came here to do. Jesus doesn't want your sympathy because before the creation of the world, Jesus had planned on doing just this. He doesn't want your sympathy. He doesn't want your pity. He doesn't want your tears. Because Jesus signed up for this and he reiterated it at his baptism. As he wasn't baptized for the forgiveness of his sins. No, he was perfect. He was baptized into what? Into your sins and mine. He doesn't want your pity or your sympathy or your tears. Because it's in his suffering where his glory shines through. He doesn't want your sympathy because he's suffering all of this. He's going to the place of the skull to win a victory for you and me, a victory that you and I do not deserve. And so listen to what Jesus says to these women. He says to these women who are weeping over him, he says this: weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Jesus doesn't want your sympathy or mine. He didn't want these women's. In fact, Jesus does what? The one who is going to the cross is the one who doles out the sympathy. How amazing. She says, don't weep for me. He says, weep for yourselves and your children. Jesus, as he went to the cross, guess what? His heart broke. Broke for those people that were following him that did not know who he was or who looked at him as what? Just a mere man. Oh, there goes another one who claimed to be the Savior. Look at him now. Another failure. Jesus says, weep for yourselves. He says, because the time is coming. Jesus knew what time was coming. Yeah, the destruction of Jerusalem was coming. And oh, were there going to be those were going to be awful times. But he knew what else was coming. He's foreshadowing what? Those who do not believe in him. There is a time coming where you are going to say, blessed are those mothers who never had children. Because they're not going to spend an eternity separated from God. Jesus went to the cross and his heart was breaking. His heart was weeping for those who did not know him. What an amazing Savior we have. He doesn't want your sympathy. But as he goes to the cross, he gives you his sympathy. His pity. What love. What love he shows to you and to me. And yet, what do we do so often? We put Jesus in the defendant's seat when things don't go the way we think they should in our lives. And we accuse, accuse, accuse. Jesus, apparently you don't care for me. I just had a baby. That baby's in the hospital and I haven't been able to hold my baby. Apparently you don't care for me. Apparently you don't care for my child. Has it had to undergo heart surgery from the moment it came into this world? Jesus, apparently you don't care for me as daily I struggle to fill up my gas tank. Jesus, do you not know what I'm undergoing with this cancer that riddles my body? Do you not understand the marriage issues in my life? Accusation after accusation. What is it in your life that you accuse Jesus of not caring for you? I know what it is in my life. Oh, it makes me ashamed. Because the evidence speaks for itself. Look at him going to the cross. Look at how much he cares. How much he sympathizes. He sympathizes with you so much he came to this earth to do what you could not. And then he came to this earth to do what? To suffer what you deserved. So that you would not. How foolish and laughable it is to think that Jesus is unsympathetic. He cares so much that he went to a cross and hung on that cross for you and me. And if you still have doubts, we go to the end of our sermon text. There Jesus is hanging on that cross. Soldiers are sitting at the foot of the cross, hurling insults at him, undoubtedly, poking fun at him. And what does Jesus say about them? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's his same prayer for you and me. When we throw those accusations at him that he does not care. He prays to his heavenly Father on our behalf. He says about you and me, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He cares. You and I think we know how much he cares. We will never fully understand how much he cares until that day he takes us to be with him. That's how much he cares for you. And so, my friends, you and I who have so often put Jesus on the defendant's chair. You've seen the evidence this evening. Is he sympathetic? Does he care for you? He sure does. He cares for you even with all of the things going on in your life that you struggle with right now. Look how much he cares. He made sure that one day, after your struggles here on this earth are over, that those struggles would be over for an eternity, as he won for you heaven. He cares for each and every one of you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Why don't we stand up this evening and confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 10. We confess. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we bring our offerings to our Savior.